When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everybody, into the ESPN FC studios for this, the latest edition of the show, alongside Casey Keller, Steve Nichol. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us ahead of a busy weekend in world football in Spain. Real Madrid closing in on a La Liga title. We'll talk about that in just a little bit, plus a massive game on Sunday between Liverpool and Spurs. But let's start in Germany and the wild story that involves Thomas Tuchel and Bayern Munich. We thought he was one foot out the door, but since Bayern are in the Champions League semifinals, maybe things can change. Here's a quote from the embattled manager, quote, "Well, you can change every contract on mutual consent because we had a contract as well and we agreed on ending it early, so everything is possible." But the answer is the same. The agreement stands and the agreement exists. Okay. We're going to find out what that means. And to get a little translation, why don't we welcome into the show our good friends, Jan Agafjortov and Frank LeBeuf. Jan, I'll start with you. Translate what Thomas Tuchel is saying there. I mean, is there a chance he's going to stay now at Bayern Munich?
Thomas Tuchel wants to do what every other coach at Bayern is doing at the moment, reject them, don't want to coach them. So what he's loved now to do is that, and it could be likely, boys, that Bayern could now, after Uli Hoeneß on Friday said, this guy don't want to develop any players. On Saturday, he said, this is the honor of my coaching badge. What is he saying about me? And then Ralf Rangnick said no as a third coach. And then Thomas Tuchel hope now that Bayern will ask him, can you stay? And he will say, no. So he will turn him down as well. And I'm presenting this as a joke, but this is quite likely that could happen because the candidates now seem to dry out for Bayern. They were 100% sure they would get Ralf Rangnick. And now they're staying there with no, well, they have candidates, but no clear favorite.
Jan, what happened with Ralf Rangnick? Obviously, he's going to stay with the Austrian national team. He said it wasn't a rejection of Bayern Munich, but it seems like this job, there's some hesitation to take it. What's going on there?
Well, I spent this week in Austria at Wednesday. I was quite busy with my iPhone talking to different people, but I still, when I went to bed Wednesday night, I still thought that Ralf Rangnick will finally then say it. Yes, to Bayern. But during Wednesday, he changed his mind. I think this is quite easy and quite difficult. I think when Bayern came to Ralf Rangnick, he said his impulse was, no, I don't want to do this. I'm 65. I have a great life as a national coach for Austria. We're at the Euros. Okay. And then they start pushing him. And I mean, it's a compliment when Bayern wants you as a coach. Maybe he wants to take a bit of revenge for what happened in Manchester United. I will show them I can do a big club. So yes, if you fulfill everything I say, you can have me there. But then when he woke up on or during Wednesday, he came back to his final rejection. And he said, no, I want to stay in Austria. The FA, of course, put pressure on him. But Ralf Rangnick, as he is a man of honor, he called up Bayern and said, listen, I can't do this. I can't make two clubs, one club and one national coach the next 2 months in practical, because he had to do the preparation and Euro. So then he turned them down as well.
Casey, give us some perspective here on kind of the dysfunction that we're seeing at Bayern as somebody who's played in the Bundesliga.
Well, it's uncharacteristic because Bayern, I think, for so many years has been just the efficiency machine in the way that they've operated. And when they've made a decision on somebody, the next person who came in righted the ship and success continued. I mean, this is one of the few situations where Bayern are really left scratching their head, because for so many years, what Bayern was really good at doing was taking their best players and their competition away from those clubs and absorbing them into Bayern. And then when the next managers kind of emerged, they've taken that manager and absorbed them into Bayern and have had a ton of success. So this has been something that's been interesting. They've had issues, obviously, last season where they should have lost the title to Dortmund, but they found a way. And they said, okay, Nagelsmann, it's not really quite working out. We're going to have to bring in the next person to make sure that it doesn't get worse. And it's gotten worse. And so, no problem. Here's what we'll do. We'll make an offer to Xavi Alonso. So now we'll take the next best big manager in the Bundesliga away. And I don't want to do that. And I think one of the big reasons why is I think a lot of these managers, from Klinsmann to Hansi Flick to a bunch of guys who've kind of come in, have kind of said, you know what? There's so much noise behind me that I don't know if I can really do the job the way I should do the job and can do the job, because I'm not really allowed to do the job. So if I'm going to get all the criticism, but I don't actually get to make the decisions on the outcomes of the criticism that I'm getting, leave it. I'll do something else. Let somebody else deal with all this noise.
Stevie, if Bayern Munich win the Champions League with Thomas Tuchel in charge, if you're Bayern Munich, you bringing him back?
I mean, I think regardless of what Bayern Munich want, I'm with Jan. He's going to tell them to stick it out the
really?
Door. Why would he stay there?
After what they've said.
After what they've said. And honestly,
I mean, he said anything is possible.
He seems like
he's left the door open.
For any coach, if you want to throw your dignity out the door, then take the Bayern job again. And for years, I've always thought about Rummenigge and Hoeneß. Every time the TV cameras go on them, and straight in my head was the Muppet Show every single time. Well, they've actually made it now. That's exactly what it seems now. That they've become a bit of a laughing stock. Mm-hmm. At one time, they were the thinkers, they were the decision makers. They got everything right, as Casey was saying. Now, everything they touch just melts.
Well, and then they would insulate themselves even more. Salihamidžić, Oliver Kahn would then kind of be the guy in between.
It's not their fault.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. No, now we can blame them, because then they can blame. And so, yeah, it's become this layered dysfunction that just you just wouldn't associate with Bayern Munich.
Just a quick comment, because yes, we can criticize Bayern. We have to get the right facts. Uli Hoeneß has been the manager or the head of everything since the end of the 70s. And Bayern has won a lot of things, even when they've done this. And they have won the championship in the Bundesliga 11 last times. So despite everything, they managed to do that. But now it seems they've been caught up with time. Now Uli Hoeneß, yeah. I've been rating him big time, but now suddenly he looked by the statements so out of order that was not even close to 2024. Mm.
Frank, what would you do if you were in Thomas Tuchel's shoes and you won the Champions League? Would you be tempted to stay?
Well, I will have my ego, my pride, and I think I will have the tendency to follow Tuchel and say, no, I don't want to stay. He didn't want me to stay before, and now you rewind. I understand Tuchel. You know, I have lots of respect for Bayern and the Bayern history, and Jan just mentioned, you know, what they did. And Uli Hoeneß and some others, former player, legends to the club, becoming the big part of the board, I've created something that you put so much pressure on the coach every year, and every time you have a new coach, that's, you know, the other, they listen, and they see what's going on, and they don't want to go there because they will feel under pressure and they will decide for nothing. As Casey explained and alluded, he said, you know what? It's too much noise. It's too noisy behind me. I can't decide anything because otherwise I'm going to be criticized. So it's a big club with legends at the top of it, but it's hard to work and to feel a little bit of peace at some point. So people are hesitating before saying yes or no. It's a big, big club. It's hard to say no to Bayern Munich. But when you know that within 2 months you can be kicked out, you think twice, I think.
Jan, if it's not Bayern Munich, what could be next for Thomas Tuchel?
Well, I talked with a friend in Manchester and we agreed that Ten Hag is now linked to Bayern funny enough. I think if Bayern want Ten Hag, it's even Manchester United that want him even more to go to Bayern than Bayern themselves. So we could end up, paradoxically, what happened lately, that there could be a swap. I think that Thomas Tuchel is very... I think he's very hot for Manchester United. I think that is exactly the kind of manager they need at the moment. And the reason Ten Hag is coming up a bit at the picking order, of course, he was with a second team by Bayern. So that's why they 2 + 2 = 4. And the last thing I heard from Munich now was that there was Roger Schmidt. There's another guy who could come from Portugal, from Benfica. But Thomas Tuchel... I think that, Frank, yeah, I agree that Thomas Tuchel, he has his dignity, but I still think he has his kind of funny way of thinking, but let them ask me. Please let them ask me so I can reject them. But if I may say on this list, we see the top favorite here just before I came on, boys. I was reading the German papers now saying that the Serbia has just told the world, as they say, or Bayern, that he wants to stay in Brighton, that he has made a promise to the fans that he will stay there. So another one out. So now we know that the next one that will be asked will be the fifth choice of Bayern Munich.
Frank, Zizou to Bayern, you signing up for that?
The experience will be great, and I would love to do so. But I was watching the list, and I see Zinedine Zidane, really. I can bet on the fact he will never go there. Okay. He denies everything. I think he will never go to Bayern. I would be very surprised. But Zizou is an artist, so you never know. But really, I doubt about it.
All right, let's put ourselves back in Tuchel's shoes here. The choices are only returning to Bayern Munich after they've done what they've done to your ego, or going to Manchester United.
Going to Manchester United.
Really?
But why do you want him to go to Manchester United?
Well, I think you can forget.
That's not your Liverpool side talking.
No, that's definitely
right?
His Liverpool.
You can forget.
You don't like
Bayern
him?
Munich. You can forget Bayern Munich. Seriously.
Okay.
Anybody, as I said...
That bridge just burned.
Yep. Anybody with any dignity should tell Bayern in the position Tuchel's in to shove it up the jumper.
Right.
And if he doesn't, then he's... I won't say what I think of him.
Mm-hmm.
Man United is a huge club. Tuchel, no question, can coach. The problem is he falls out with everybody.
Mm.
And Manchester United needs somebody to steady the ship. Tuchel doesn't seem to be a guy that is...
So
really
you disagree with what Jan's saying? You disagree with what Jan's saying?
No, I don't. Look, I think the whole football world, as far as management's concerned, is absolutely upside down. The fact that it's a possibility that a man at...
This swap
is just absolutely mental.
Yeah.
But it's so mental that you just never know.
Right.
I'll be honest. The name that it's probably going to end up being will be Sebastian Hoeneß. Because he might be the only one that wants it.
Right, right. They're just that far down the pecking
order. And he'll work with his uncle.
He's actually done...
Yeah.
Well, it is because it's his uncle.
Yeah.
He's actually done well in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it could be that...
And he's done his time in Germany. He started at a starting point and is working his way up.
So when I look at that list, that looks to me as the obvious choice.
Except the fact that he doesn't quite have the name. Now, there is always, you know, that issue, you know, with maybe you've gotten here because you're of your uncle.
But they're less likely to jump on it. They're more likely to give him time. You know, Jan's talking about, you know, 2 months, sorry, Frank was saying, you know, 2 months down the line, they're criticising the team, they're criticising the manager, they're criticising everything. If it is Sebastian Hoeneß, the chances of him being criticised that early are got to be minuscule.
I mean, longer leash.
Absolutely.
Even at Bayern Munich.
Leash.
Even at Bayern Munich.
Even at Bayern Munich.
Last word on this to you, Jan. Can you give me a percentage chance on whether Tuchel will return next year?
Oh, I will have that low, but you never know if they win at Wembley. But the thing is, they have to decide this quite quick because now Bayern Munich is turning into a laughing stock, and this is a very proud club. This is a very successful club. I will say that is down to 10% that he will take over. And I will just jump in at the end and say, I think if you see what Bayern have done over the years when they've had trouble, they always go back to one of theirs. They will go one of the former Bayern people. And I think that it's like a boring, and I'm not saying that because I don't like him at all, because he's a great lad, but I got a feeling they will end up get Hansi Flick back.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For more on the Spanish top flight, let's welcome into the show Alex Kirkland. Alex, as we mentioned, Real Madrid about to win the league. Any reason to suggest it won't happen this weekend?
Well, like you say, the equation is very simple. Tomorrow they have to beat Cadiz at home, and Barcelona have to drop points away at Girona, and Real Madrid are champions. Reasons to doubt whether that will happen? Well, Cadiz, of course, are battling relegation. Real Madrid have their eye on a Champions League semi-final, the second leg coming up against Bayern Munich next week. Carlo Ancelotti would probably pick a much rotated team for this Cadiz game, but still at home at the Bernabeu against a team which, yes, are fighting for their lives, but that's because they have been poor for much of the season, Cadiz. You'd expect that Real Madrid have the quality, even if it is a Real Madrid B team, to get the job done. And then let's see what happens to the game immediately after that. As I say, it's Barcelona travel to Montilivi to play Girona. If Real Madrid do it, if they do win the league tomorrow, we understand there won't be any big celebrations, or at least any big celebrations involving the players. The fans may well head to Cibeles, which is where Madrid traditionally celebrate their trophy wins, but the players won't be heading there tomorrow exactly because they've got this Champions League semi-final second leg next week against Bayern. They've got to focus on that, of course. The celebrations, when they come, will come a bit later. Now, of course, if Real Madrid don't win the league against Cadiz, they've got plenty of time. They'll still have four more games in La Liga left to go, and at some point they will get over the line. They are so, so close. But I guess from their point of view, it would be nice to get it done sooner rather than later so they can really focus on the Champions League, having the La Liga title in their back pocket.
Alex, it looks like Thibaut Courtois is going to start this game against Cadiz. Obviously, he's missed most of the season. Same can be said for Militao. Obviously, Benzema's been gone since the summer. How do we put into perspective all that Real Madrid has accomplished this season, given those absences?
Yeah, I kind of feel like we've gotten so used to the absence of Courtois, the absence of Militao, the absence of David Alaba, with those long-term, all three of them suffering ACL tears, Militao and Courtois back in August, Alaba a little bit later. We've gotten so used to it that we've kind of forgotten about it, right? It feels like the season's just kind of gone on, and we've gotten used to, oh yeah, it's Andre Lunin in goal. Oh yeah, of course, it's Rudiger and Nacho at the back. But when you think about it, Thibaut Courtois, for a lot of people, I think would be the best goalkeeper in the world, or certainly the conversation for the top three or the top five, an absolutely key player for Real Madrid. Eder Militao, a lot of people would have said going into this season, He was Real Madrid's number one defender. Now, of course, with the form of Antonio Rudiger this campaign, there's maybe a bit of debate there. But nonetheless, Militao, a world-class defender. David Alaba, a really good player and a big name, a vast experienced player as well. So I think when you factor in those three absences for such a long time, we've also seen injuries at times for other big players, not as lengthy, but significant absences for Vinicius Jr., a couple of injuries for Jude Bellingham as well. I think the way that Real Madrid have dealt with all of that is really admirable. It also says a lot, of course, about the strength in depth of Real Madrid's squad and the ability that Carlo Ancelotti has as a coach to cope with some of these absences. So yeah, I think it's really impressive. The fact that Real Madrid are so far ahead at the top of the table, I think says as much about the failings of others. Of course, Barcelona, difficult season for them. They've recovered quite a bit since Xavi first announced that he was leaving and then went back on that. Of course, we had Girona, who surprised everybody, but ultimately fell away, starting with a big loss at the Bernabeu. So I think the story of this season has been about Real Madrid being strong, improving on last season, Barcelona dropping away a little bit. But yes, also Real Madrid's ability, given the strength and depth they have, to cope with injuries to very significant players. And like you say, Carlo Ancelotti saying Thibaut Courtois will start against Cadiz. He also said, however, Andre Lunin will start against Bayern in the Champions League semi-final second leg next week. When he was asked, well, who plays in a hypothetical Champions League final then, which of course would then be the big question if they go through against Bayern, he wouldn't say. He said, we'll see. I think that's basically because there's still a month to go until a possible Champions League final. A lot can happen between now and then in terms of assessing Thibaut Courtois' fitness and exactly how ready he would be to play a game of such magnitude. But that starts, as I say, with him getting a start against Cadiz.
Casey, what would you do? Would you put Courtois in for the second leg?
No, probably not.
Really?
I think, you know, it's fitness is different for goalkeepers. It's more of a mental fitness than necessarily a physical fitness. Yeah, he's fit enough to obviously get to play a game, but it's all about the quickness of reading how a game develops. And you can only do that with matches and having and matches that matter. Yeah, a preseason match is great. It has its benefits. But really, you want to be that match form in that quickness of thought. And to do it after that length of time away, have one game against Cadiz, who I would expect...
You're not going to get a lot of action,
you're not going
right?
to have a yeah. lot to do. And then be thrown straight in a couple days later.
What about a final?
But I also don't know if he's going to get an accumulation of matches to get where he needs to be in a final. Look, Lunin's had a great season. Is he Thibaut Courtois? No.
Right.
But is he Thibaut Courtois after 8 months out and only having a handful of games that matter? I don't think Thibaut will quite be ready for that.
As a coach, Stevie, what do you think of the job Ancelotti did this season?
Well, for a team that had so many injuries, and not just to bit part players, but
right.
big players, particularly Courtois, to wrap the league up and be in the Champions League semi-final, favourites to win it, I mean, it's fantastic, but are we surprised? You know, we did say at the time when all these injuries happened, if there was one man that can possibly keep this team together, keep it ticking over, keep it winning, keep it at the top of the league, Ancelotti's the man. Well, every single thing that we thought this guy was about, he's proven it again and some, because absolutely incredible job to get this team to where it is.
But I also agree with Alex that it's also a state of what the other
big boys
have done. We know the financial troubles with Barcelona, and they haven't been able to strengthen off of last year. In fact, they've clearly gone backwards. I also look at the squad of Atletico Madrid. I've called Atletico Madrid a bunch of times this season. And you watch them at times and you think, particularly at home, and you're like, they should be challenging.
Right.
And then you watch them on the road and you go, oh, what happened from this week to last week? And I think a lot of that combination of those two big boys not being consistent from where they need to be and the magic of Ancelotti and the players stepping up when they've needed them to has really, you know, give a big credit to Real Madrid.
Alex, as we look at this Real Madrid, we mentioned they've got to win but also need some help. Barcelona away against Girona, fair chance they do slip up, yeah?
Quite possibly. I mean, as I was saying, Girona have been one of the best teams in La Liga this season. Yes, they've dropped off in the second half of the season. Yes, they couldn't maintain that incredible title challenge that had everybody talking in the first half of the campaign. But Girona's still a really impressive team. Michel, a fantastic coach, packed full of good players. Barcelona, I mentioned, they have been better in the last couple of months. They have picked up their results since Xavi first said that he was leaving. Of course, they lost the Clásico against Real Madrid, but that was really close. It came down to one goal and an added time winner from Jude Bellingham. So Barcelona generally playing pretty well. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be a good game. But yeah, there's no reason to presume that Barcelona will certainly go and get the win. So that's why I think there's every chance of Real Madrid getting the league wrapped up this weekend, because I would back Madrid to beat Cadiz at home, and I would back Girona to get something against Barcelona. Maybe not a win, but maybe a draw, enough at least for them to drop points, which, like I say, would be La Liga wrapped up. But yeah, it should be a cracking game, because, like I say, everyone's loved watching Girona this season. They've got so many talented players from Savio out wide to Alex Garcia in midfield. They've got goals, of course, one of the leading goal scorers in La Liga in Dobfik, who no one expected to be at the top of the goal scoring charts at the start of the season. He's there, one of the stories of the season, no question. And it would be a nice, Girona looking pretty much certainties now to finish top four. They're there in third place at the moment. They could even still finish ahead of Barcelona in second. And of course, this game and this result would play a big part in deciding that, who finishes second in La Liga. And if Girona could do that, yes, they're not going to win the league. But if they could finish second behind Real Madrid, yes, but ahead of Barcelona, ahead of Atleti, ahead of a whole host of other clubs who are bigger traditionally than Girona, that would still be a remarkable achievement, I think.
Alex, great stuff. There he is, Alex Kirkland. Check out his fine work over at ESPN.com. Good to have you with us here, Alex, on ESPN FC as we take a look at the upcoming schedule for La Liga this weekend. Again, available for you exclusively here on ESPN Plus. Action starts bright and early Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, as Real Sociedad face off against Las Palmas. Real Madrid in action 10:15 a.m. Saturday, Barcelona 12:15 Eastern Time, again away against Girona.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectra e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles an hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, let's turn our attention now to the Premier League. Liverpool against Spurs on Sunday at Anfield. Liverpool favorites, despite their struggles of late, just one win in their last five in league play. What does the table look like? Well, Liverpool third right now, 5 points back. First place, Arsenal. Meanwhile, Spurs in fifth, 7 points back of Aston Villa, who are in fourth. However, Spurs with a game in hand over Villa. Ange Postecoglou, Spurs manager, has been making a lot of headlines with his comments. Let's check out the latest. I'll read you the whole Q&A here. The answer that prompted the question: when we put in a performance like we did in the first half, it meant my message wasn't getting through. The question, what message was that? The answer, come on, mate, we didn't play well. Do you want me to write you a dossier of where it went wrong? I feel like we've lost a bit of belief and conviction in our football, and that is on me to change that. All right, Jan and Frank are back with us. But Stevie, As a manager, I feel compelled to start with you. What do you make of the latest from Ange? The latest in kind of a series of weird comments.
I don't mind that. I mean, I'm not quite sure what we expect him to do, because he's quite right. I mean, is he going to dissect his team and pull out names? Mm-hmm. If he did that, we'd have a go at him for that.
Sure.
His team's struggling. They've just lost again. How is he supposed to react? You know,
If you take this in the context of the set pieces and all the other stuff, do you see him starting to lose his cool a little bit? Do you see the frustration there? Is that what we're seeing?
Again, this is about losing a game of football. The set piece thing is, he'll never do that again. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a hope that he hasn't spent time going over set pieces. And quite frankly, I'll be shocked if the goalkeeper hasn't turned round before the Arsenal game and said, I don't want anybody fighting in front of me with White. I'll take care of it. And the manager's gone with him. And the fact that he's come out and said the wrong thing, which he did, about we've got more problems than that. And, of course, the press jump on it, that he's not interested, he's not bothered. Absolute hogwash. He's lost a game, another game. He knows his team's struggling. He knows his team are not doing what he wants them to do. And he's upset and disappointed. And it's 5 minutes after the game's just finished. I mean, I'm really not too sure what people think he should be saying.
I remember a conversation, Martin O'Neill said when I was at Leicester about set pieces like this. He said, we could basically be on the training ground for an hour. But in the end of it, if I'm marking Stevie and Stevie's trying to score on me, it comes down to our matchup between each other and who wants it more. And right now, I think there's some questions. It's not a tactical thing. It's not that. It's where is that Tottenham side that is going to say, I want it more than you? Mm. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of a dip because of that. And I think that's what's kind of the worrying thing for Ange, is he's going, wait a minute. I saw at the beginning of this season a fight and a desire, and I'm starting to see that dip in desire right when we need it the most. And how do I change that?
Just on that particular goal, the one thing that's glaring about it, the fact he's not picked up.
The pick?
Nobody has even noticed he's there on his own. He's 6'3". Yeah. Guess where the ball's gone? And not one person has actually taken responsibility and moved the defence around. Because you have to react. You know, when you see something before a free kick's taken or a corner, whatever set piece it is, then you have to react to what the opposition do. And not one person did anything. And that would be the biggest
concern. And everybody knows their assignment before they go out. Who's supposed to be marking them? So,
No, they don't, Casey.
Yeah?
They don't, Casey. That's the big problem nowadays. There is a lack of responsibility given by the coach and I've talked about that 2 days ago, about the set pieces that they conceded against Arsenal and the conceded goals, because they do the zone marking. And not in that particular set piece, there is a cross from, I think it's Gallagher, and they are still on zone marking, so nobody takes care of Chalobah. And you cannot point somebody and say, you were supposed to mark Chalobah. It doesn't exist anymore. That's the thing. They put themselves in a position that the coach gave them, or the head coach, the coach of free kicks, whoever he is, and they don't care about the opponent. They just take care of their zone. They don't take care of the opponent. That's the real problem for me. And that was a problem against Arsenal. That was a problem there. And they're not concerned anymore. And it's like the free kick after the second goal with Palmer. He hit the post, and you have like two players out of 11 which will follow the action. Why? Because they're not concerned.
Jan? I think, Seb, back to your initial question about Postecoglou, it's quite interesting to follow him this season. As you know, I'm in England nearly every round. I interviewed him on Sunday at the North London Derby, a bit depressed, of course, after losing. I think what is the problem with him now is that when you have that joke, when you have that likable kind of contagious way that Postecoglou is doing all the time, but still you have to win football games. I think it's as simple as that. Remember at the beginning of the season, remember that game against Sheffield United where they were 1-0 down or something, and but they end up winning against Sheffield United? At the beginning of the season, everything went for them. And I think that we also, as pundits, have to look a bit to ourselves. I was thinking of it yesterday. We were doing Postecoglou against Pochettino, the two of the most likable managers in England, and we as pundits as well, we are more likely to give them praise. We say, yeah, but they're good, yeah, they could get the team together, but it's all about results. And when Postecoglou says this thing about set pieces, maybe that was a slip of the tongue, maybe it's a bit old-fashioned, maybe in that department, maybe. As long as you're winning football games, then you're a cult manager. If you lose that, then you're not well prepared. So I think we have to get the nuances here as well.
Is he getting found out as a manager?
I think it's too early. I think he's had a good season. I mean, I think the other part that always seems when you talk about Tottenham is Tottenham have like the seventh or eighth biggest payroll in the Premier League.
So you're saying they're about where they should be, or even overachieving?
They're actually overachieving for where they should be. The thought that if you're spending the money that Manchester United is spending and not getting in the Champions League, you have an argument. Mm-hmm. But if you're spending the money that Daniel Levy is spending and not getting in the Champions League, well, that's where you should be because you're not spending the money that the other teams in the Champions League are.
I think you've got to say, though, this year is a big year for him from a personal point of view as a coach. Because because you've got to assume coaching in the Premier League is different to other places.
Of course.
It's different. And he was coming into Tottenham at a good time because the expectation was zero. There was none. Harry Kane was gone. This team was absolutely going nowhere. And so it was like a breath of fresh air. And the way he wants to play the game. Yep. Listen,
that's very Tottenham too, though.
But we all want to play the way that his team plays. Unfortunately, as Jan was saying, you've got to win games, though. And so this year is going to be, particularly right now, I said the other day on the show, I think this Tottenham team's running out of juice. Yeah. And so for Postecoglou, this is an exercise in right. How far do I push them? And when do I push them?
So it's a style thing.
But it's all these questions. Do I do less in training? Mm-hmm. Do I do more at the end of the season? Do I do less?
Is it a style you're convinced will work in the Premier League eventually?
No.
He has to figure out how... You can't do what they do at their best for 90 minutes. You can't.
But he seems unwilling to relent on that.
If you're going to let me tell you, I'll tell you. He has to figure out that there will be times in games where they can't do that. And then he has to make sure that what they do is they get into a good defensive shape, wherever he decides to do it, and then they don't let teams get at them. Because right now, in all season, there are holes everywhere when they don't have the ball. Mm-hmm. Those are all the questions that he has to ask himself. But it won't be till next season, because this year is a free hit for him, basically, because of what he picked up at the start of the season.
But when you spend time at Tottenham and you understand kind of the way the fans want the team to play, and, you know, back from the Ozzy Ardiles days to, you know, and it was this super expansive attack, reckless, go for it.
Naive, some might say at times. Yeah.
Well, and then you bring in a Mourinho, and then you bring in a Conte, or a George Graham, and the fans are kind of smashing their head against a wall going, okay, wait a minute here. This isn't what we want. We don't want this defensive grind out 1-0 results. You know, it'd be like the next manager at Spurs is going to be Diego Simeone. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's not what Spurs want, but they have to be able to find that balance between not just being reckless defensively and think we're going to win every game 4-3, we have to be able, on the odd day, to Stevie's point, grind out a 1-0 when it's not going well. We can't just say we're going to do it this way, we're going to score 5 goals and win a game, or we're going to lose.
You know,
because
who wants,
you're not going in the Champions League like that.
You know who wants that, at least based on their prediction? Frank. Frank's got a 0-0 between Liverpool and Spurs on Sunday. You got to explain that one, LeBeau. What? Who's... Is it getting rained out or what?
No, because I think those two clubs have resigned for any ambition in the Premier League, and I really think that players are disappointed. Everybody's frustrated. Coach are showing some disappointments as well. So I don't see anything good coming out of it. It's why I put a 0-0, because I don't see anything good coming out of it. I think it's a good thing that for Spurs that they qualify for Europa League and not Champions League, because it's a new generation and it's good for Ange to discover something different with that club and build something from there. And Klopp is leaving. We can feel the frustration and the tension that you have with Mo Salah, for example. So again, I don't see anything good coming. So I didn't want to give another result, because that is not going to bring anything good. It's not going to bring anything better for those two clubs. It's why I put a 0-0.
Yeah, and you got Spurs losing here. They're 7 points back with 4 games left. They do have the game in hand, as we mentioned, over Villa. If they lose, are we saying that's it on the top four chances?
Yeah, I think that's it. And as we know now, that England won't get that fifth position to get into the Champions League. So that is Tottenham going into Europa League. The reason I do 3-1 for Liverpool is that, well, the Hollywood ending of that Klopp era, that didn't help. And I just looking at Frank today, I was thinking, if they made a film out of Klopp's farewell season, he should play Klopp. He looks like Klopp. He's like that kind of macho guy. So Frank LeBeuf will be my favorite for that part. But I just hope.
That would have
helped. Yeah. And I just say, I hope that for Klopp's time at Liverpool, now he got a win at the end of, a couple of wins at the end of the season, because it's a bit sad, and it was very sad to see what happened. Because the connection between him and the team has been fantastic. At least we have seen everything like that, and then we're all former footballers. We know that it's not always like it's pretend to be in a dressing room, but still that connection has been well. So I think that Liverpool will try to come back from that West Ham game. And we're talking about maybe Frank's result is the best, because there are two teams without juice or whatever you said, Stevie, that we've seen now. Liverpool against West Ham as well. It was just like, let's get to the end of the season. Let's get a new coach. Let's get someone from Holland and then we start again.
Stevie, given everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks, you think Salah should start this game?
Salah will start this game. Absolutely. Yeah. No danger. Mm-hmm. Klopp's come out and said they've sorted it out. He's had his break. Klopp's made his point, not starting him, quite rightly. Didn't deserve to start the way he was playing, but he will absolutely start this game. And I expect Liverpool to win this game comfortably, to be honest with you. I think the feeling around the place will go when the whistle goes and the crowd gets behind him. And you know Klopp's going to whip everybody up, not just the crowd, but his players. So I see this as a comfortable victory for Liverpool.
Do you think Liverpool will target Vicario, as we saw last time? Maybe try to throw him off his game?
You do until you don't. I mean, really.
How confident are you in Vicario? Because he had like a great start to the season.
Vicario's had a very good season. But, I mean, here's the part that I laugh about is, you know, there was always a question mark going into England because of the aerial ability of not only center backs coming up, but also big strikers and back in the day. And that was always a question mark for every foreign goalkeeper coming into England, was how can they handle crosses? Where now, you know, goalkeepers are just supposed to be the best player on the pitch with their feet. Who cares if they can actually be a goalkeeper anymore? And you're starting to see some of those issues when you're bringing in goalkeepers solely, I hear it all the time. I hear a sport director, I hear a coach. Oh, yeah, look how great he is with his feet. Well, can he keep the ball out of the back of the net? How about we start with that, and then we'll see how we decide to play. But that doesn't seem to be a
I can't believe I'm going to stick up.
That doesn't seem to be a prerequisite right now for goalkeeping anymore. Can he catch a cross? Can he punch a cross? Can he make a save? Can he control his box? No, but he takes a great goal kick, Stevie. He takes a great goal kick.
I'm going to stick up for you boys, by the way. Wow. Because I think we underestimate the pace and the movement on the balls today. Mm-hmm. You know, we always tend to kind of go back to the old days when the ball's flung in the air, keeper comes, catches it, all that. The ball is coming in with so much pace on it. The goalkeeper has no chance. And if he gambles, he's completely dead. So I think maybe they're overdoing this. It's a great story. But you see the goals that they lost there. The goalkeeper, if Ben White had gone and sat in the halfway line, mm-hmm. they'd still have scored those two goals. So I think we're just kind of overdoing that. Goalkeepers today, I don't think are expected to do what they previously did, because the ball moves and it goes at some pace coming into the box.
Just to bring it back to Liverpool, they're 5 points back. You giving up hope?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm
no way back in.
Really?
So this would be the most incredible finish to the season.
Because Man City's going to lose three games.
Yeah, you need two to stumble.
They have to lose at least two, and Liverpool have to win every game. Yeah. What's your chances of Liverpool winning every game? Never mind the other two losing.
Yeah, I guess after the last five, that's the doubt, right?
Than the other two losing, that's what I think.
Just be realistic.
Yeah.
Fair, Casey? Tough to trust Liverpool to make any kind of significant run right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's bigger odds that the other two would lose enough games to give Liverpool a chance to get back into it.
Sure.
They're just in such good form.
Go on, Jan.
You will say that Liverpool got a chance.
I heard you want to get in there.
No, I would just agree with the boys. Liverpool will just have to look after Klopp now, that he get a happy ending, that he will get a fine ending to all the documentaries, the farewell tour of Klopp. There is, of course, no chance for him to win the league now. He will end up with the League Cup. They were talking about the quadruple, but he'll end up with the League Cup.
Yeah. There we have it. Arsenal first, Manchester City second, Liverpool third as we head towards the weekend. Jan, you're sticking around. Frank, as always, great to have you with us here on ESPN FC. Thanks for the time. World Cup champion.
Bye-bye,
always
guys.
Good to have him here on the
sure
show.
Bye.
Look at the Premier League weekend slate. Saturday, Arsenal kicking things off against Bournemouth. As we mentioned, Manchester City also in action Saturday against Wolves. Chelsea West Ham on Sunday. Liverpool Spurs also on Sunday. Manchester United in action Monday against Crystal Palace. And I mentioned Jan's going to stick around for a while because he's going to join us on today's edition of Extra Time, where we take your questions straight from social media. Stevie, Casey, and Jan answering all your questions in just a few moments. You can always find it over on the YouTube channel.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Big game down at the bottom of the table in the Premier League on Friday. Luton Town and Everton playing to a 1-1 draw. Adebayo scoring for Luton Town, in the 31st minute. Dominic Calvert-Lewin from the penalty spot 24 minutes into the game. Luton missing out on a chance to escape the relegation zone. Guys, if Luton Town go down, no doubt they're going to look back at today, yeah?
One of today.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Well, I mean,
but as
you're at home against another team pretty far down the table, you don't have many other opportunities to get points.
No, definitely at home. Every time they've been at home this season, you understand that everybody in that ground, whether it's the fans, the players, the manager, you name it, the owners, they know they've got a chance. You know, Casey described it. It's old school. When you go to Kenilworth Road and it's tight and it's small, and you have a team the size of
I'm just surprised there's actually then grass on the pitch. Because there never was grass on the pitch when I played there.
So, yeah, no, at home, no question. They have to pick points up. And well, they did. They got one.
Yep.
But might not be enough.
Well, and you're playing against an Everton side with a decent string of results, even after the 8 points deduction, that have now found themselves in a position of safety. So often, if you're either in a title chase or you're in a relegation fight, you want to play teams mid-table that have nothing to play for at this point of the season. And Luton had, I'm sure, Luton were the happiest when Everton beat Liverpool the other day, because that meant that was it. They were safe, and they're going to come in here without really that need of that fight for points. And they had moments in this game. Now, give Everton a ton of credit. Mm-hmm. They had chances as well. Could have gone either way. Probably a draw was a fair result. But when you're Luton and you've had this second half of the season and you've given yourself an opportunity to stay in the league, those are the matches against a team that's really not fighting for anything anymore at home that you have to find a way to get the 3 points, and they were unable to do that.
Left on Luton's schedule, West Ham and Fulham. Forest, who they just pulled level with today, they've got Sheffield United on Saturday.
That's massive.
That's a real good chance. You got to figure for Forest to kind of get 3 points that if would
you,
all but save them,
you
right?
You don't beat Sheffield United. And the position
not everybody beats Sheffield United
and the
now.
The position they're in and the position you find yourself in.
Well, let's move on. Because speaking of Forest, there was, of course, the penalties that were not given against Everton earlier this month. Howard Webb and the PGMOL have come out and admitted that VAR should have intervened on the play that you just saw there, Ashley Young's challenge on Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Really, you can't. Not much. You can't slide and tackle somebody from behind in the box.
Yeah.
This has led to the resignation of Mark Clattenburg, who was working in an advisory role with Nottingham Forest. "Quote: I perform my services under the consultancy agreement in good faith, to the best of my abilities, and in hope of using my extensive experience as a match official to help Nottingham Forest understand how decisions in relation to key match incidents are made amid the workings of VAR. However, it is now clear that the existence and performance of these consultancy services have caused unintended friction between Nottingham Forest and other participants to the extent that it has become more of a hindrance than help
to
the football club."
How's that? I'm sorry, Mark, but I don't get that at all.
Mark,
you're telling me that the referees are walking on the field and saying, "I'll get that Clattenburg because he's at Forest."
And a good time to remind you, the championship is on ESPN Plus this weekend. Casey getting called into action early tomorrow. Ipswich Town against Huddersfield Town, 7:30 a.m.
Big
Eastern
chance.
Time. Casey,
promotion.
On the call, yeah? Who are you on the call with there?
Rob Palmer.
All right. Big one there between Ipswich and Huddersfield Town as the championship season.
Can't blow it, surely.
They can't, but they haven't exactly had the best of form coming in here. Them and Leeds making a case for who wants at least.
Yes.
But big win from Ipswich midweek against Coventry to give them that advantage.
Making it very interesting down there in the championship. All right, in just a little bit, we're going to do extra time. But first, let's take a look back at the wonderful month of April. Here's our best of.
Luis, where are you, by the way? We haven't got your normal setup.
Yes, I'm in Kuala Lumpur. We came here to play Allianz games.
How was your performance in the charity match, Luis? What would you give yourselves out of 10?
A 5. I play only 20 minutes because I put my hamstring.
No!
Here we go.
No! What about all the working out? We see the Insta videos.
All the weights.
Good teams can find ways to
Compartmentalize.
No, I never go there.
Easy for you to say.
Is he a player still, or he crossed over to our side, or he's a promoter nowadays? What are you doing, Juan?
I wouldn't dare to take your chair, that's for sure.
I'm good Steve's to not available for a couple of days. He's having his colonoscopy. Good luck to that doctor.
Robbo, guess who came to work today when he wasn't supposed to be here?
Stevie Nicol.
Yeah.
Stevie. How often have you accidentally come to the studio on your day off?
The biggest mistake wasn't turning up on the wrong day. The biggest mistake was meeting Thomas in the car park.
Did you just hang your tie and shirt up for today, then?
Did I? I absolutely did.
Sitting there, twiddling your thumbs in your underpants and thinking, oh.
What do you know about my underpants?
Thankfully not a lot.
In fact, I'm being given a La Liga umbrella
as we speak. How about that? This is an exciting moment, Hayley. This umbrella is quite a lot more. Look
this
at
is
that.
Very exciting,
oh, yes.
Sid.
Yes. Yes, the best reporting we've done all year.
Given that you've been influenced by Kieran in the past with what you wear, would you be tempted to go with this outfit?
That's a stretch. I reckon I could pull it off.
You could pull it off.
I'll tell you what, if I fit in this, I'm going to wear this for the classical.
Right.
Oh, it looks like... Great.
No,
it doesn't work. Oh, my God.
Where do you stand on croissants?
I don't stand on them. I eat them.
Can you do the buttons up?
What?
Can you do the buttons up?
Of course I can do the buttons up.
No, don't try, Craig, don't try.
I think this was Gemma earlier. Worst Mary Poppins ever, look at that.
Oh, that's a summer's day in Scotland.
Ah, but they'd be out golfing. Smells a bit.
It's called fragrance. It's called fragrance, Craig.
I was just thinking, are you going line dancing tonight?
Getting all that.
I am not going line dancing tonight.
Oh, well, you should.
I think you should get a bit of pleather in your life.
Ah, what good times. Can I ask, how did you feel when you found out that you weren't supposed to be here? Were you happy or were you upset?
Also was happy. What a wee Brucey bonus, that, isn't
it? You weren't upset that you'd driven
in?
Oh,
man, you got all set. And
gotten all dressed up and all that.
If somebody just went, oh, you know what, just go home, you'd be like, yeah, here you go.
It's not the worst thing. We're not quite ready to go home. In just a few seconds, right here in the ESPN FC studios, extra time. Stay with us. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into the ESPN FC studios for today's edition of Extra Time. Jan Agafjordtoff, Steve Nichol, Casey Keller, and Seb here with your questions. You can ask the first question, yeah?
Which statement? We had two statements today, one from Tuchel and one from Mark Clattenburg. Which one made the least sense?
Which one made any sense?
Which one made the least sense?
Well, what about Clattenburg? We like Clattenburg. He's a friend of ours.
Oh, yeah.
I would like him, but he's one of them. So if I take the statement should say, I took a role by Nottingham Forest. I wanted to tell my former colleagues that they were all wrong. How could that possibly do something bad for Nottingham Forest? That is a tough one.
Well, one of them
did the check bounce. That's the question.
Okay. Leave old Klatz alone for a second. Native's
no,
interior
he's a ref.
Decorator.
You can't leave a ref
no,
alone,
you're right.
Ever.
You're right.
Don, I'm getting paid for doing nothing.
That's okay.
Brilliant.
For Jan, without the injuries, how good of a career would Marco Reus have had at Dortmund? Of course, announced this week that he will be leaving the club at the end of the season.
Well, it's a very good question and it's a very good reflection of his career. Not only did he have a lot of injuries, but he got injuries at times when he was supposed to be the best player for Germany, winning big things. So he's been very lucky. He's been one of my favorite players, but you know, There comes a time when you have the injuries, you can come back once, you can maybe come back twice, but then slowly you can see that your body is not working with you as you want and you lose a bit of that rhythm. But he's still in there, he came on the semi-final, he can end his career by Dortmund playing a Champions League final at Wembley, so it's still in there. But he could have been one of the greatest and the injuries took him back from that.
He's 34, Casey. Is there an MLS shout in there?
Well, I mean, I think... I think
he'd get a good deal. He'd get a good money.
The hard part, MLS is a grind. And I think any player that comes into MLS from Europe has to understand you have to match the physicality of MLS and then let your talent come to the forefront. If your body's not letting you match the physicality, it's tough.
Travel.
Yeah. And you can't play... And because you don't have...
But we see a lot of guys do it, Stevie. Well, it's not like it dissuades
people. They do it, but...
Well, they do it, but then you got to ask yourself, you know, I was going to say who's at fault, probably the wrong word, but who's deciding? I mean, who would decide to bring a Marco Reus in, considering the injuries he's had and the obvious problem that when you bring older European players in, the biggest problem you have is keeping them fit.
Mm. Right. So now, does Marco Reus say, hey, like a Gareth Bale, do I really want to come to LA on a cut price deal? See if it works.
I mean, if Gareth Bale was willing to do it, if Chiellini was willing
to do it. But why was Gareth Bale willing to do it? He was willing to do it so he could stay fit until he went to a championship for the national team.
Yeah.
Guys, how likely is it that Chelsea managed to sneak up into the top six by the end of the season? It would be quite a turnaround. They're eighth right now, 3 points back of sixth place Manchester United.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
One win, all of a sudden.
Who does it?
Well, we're kind of sneaking a few wins here and there, but yes.
For a team that you have no idea what you're going to get when you come up.
But, I mean, you could say the same thing about the teams they're chasing. You could say the same thing about Manchester United, couldn't you? Newcastle's in there as well.
Better run of form.
But you get my point, though. They just won a game. They beat Tottenham.
Sure.
They weren't very good. Well, and all of a sudden...
Well, what do you need to see? What do you need to see from a Chelsea team? String some wins together, right?
Two in a row would be a start.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So can you then, build off of that win against Spurs, who, even back from my time at Spurs, Chelsea always had something over Tottenham for a long period of time. And
most teams did, yeah.
Running's not bad. West Ham, Forest, Brighton, Bournemouth for Chelsea.
They would pass Manchester United. That's my statement of the night. They would pass Manchester United. Chelsea will be ahead of Manchester United. Just note it for the day.
A brave man.
Don't Hutchison for Jan. What's more likely, Leverkusen finally losing a game this season or Dortmund winning the Champions League?
Second statement from Norway tonight. I said it when Leverkusen went to Roma. Please, Roma, don't beat them, because my Eintracht Frankfurt on Sunday will beat them. It's Eintracht Frankfurt against Leverkusen Sunday, live on ESPN, and that will be the first loss of Leverkusen this season. So it's most likely that they will lose. And I still think that PSG will somehow come through against Dortmund, but I'm not 100% sure on that one. But I'm 100% sure that Frankfurt will win against Leverkusen.
Jan, have you been watching Frankfurt lately? I mean, come on. And every time Leverkusen looks like it's going to happen,
there's always a goal.
They find a 96-minute goal. Yeah.
We have made a deal with the German FA. We only play into the 90th minute, so we will be 1-0 up.
Gotcha.
You know, in the betting world, you can bet on the intervals where a team will score. And that's 75 to 90 for Leverkusen.
People have to be making some cash on
Huge.
That.
I mean, that's an autoplay most weeks. Okay, Casey, how excited are you to see Leicester back in the Premier League, one of your former clubs? What's the immediate goal next summer?
Oh, well, the immediate goal is to stay in the league.
Next summer, next season, I think.
That's always number one. I mean, come up. And if you can be mid-table, if you can not be looking over your shoulder at this time of year, maybe have a decent little run in one of the cups.
How likely do you think that is?
Are they not going to get...
There's the question.
If they get points deducted.
If they get issues...
You're starting a hole.
Yeah, you're starting a hole, that's going to be difficult. So I think really clean up that whatever financials. But... that financial thing's looming over a bunch of teams, not just Leicester as well. So and you can't really, as a player, as a manager, as whatever, understand how they're going to strengthen by coming up. It helps. I mean, what they always talk about, if you can bounce back that first year, it's so key. If you don't do it that first year, what it takes. So they've been able to come back in. And then how do they strengthen? They're clearly going to have some players. What's the Jamie Vardy situation like? How can they strengthen? How can they then? We see it every year. Center backs.
Yeah. Jan, what's one rule you would bring back from the past? I like questions like this. Big picture question. What rule from the past, Jan, would you bring back?
The handball rule that we used to have in the 90s.
That we used to know, to all know what it meant and what it was.
When we know that there was hand to ball, ball to hand, that was a simple world. I know, I just feel romantic now when I think of the handball rule, because there is no one after Albert Einstein left us that can explain us the handball rule now. There is nothing, and I think that, unfortunately, I've always been positive to VAR, because I think that whatever can do it, take bad decisions in a way. And yes, we're losing a bit of the flow and everything. But I think the handball rule is kind of adjusted to VAR. It's funny that it's sometimes now it's just getting worse and worse. And as you probably have the same as we do, we have referees coming over and explain this to us before the season. And when the season starts, everything they said was wrong.
We do have those seminars here as well. Yeah. Stevie, what are you bringing back from the past?
I'm not sure.
Game's better now?
I mean,
Did you when you started, were subs? What was the deal?
There was no. Was there no subs?
One sub.
When I started, there was two subs.
One sub and a 13th.
Did you as a player, did you hate that or like that? Like when they introduced more subs?
You didn't know any
subs,
difference. Did you?
Didn't know any difference.
Well, so okay. So sorry. So when they introduced more subs, did you like it or not like it as a player?
Oh, depends if you're trying to get in the team.
Where were you? where were you? Were you trying to get in the team or were you in the team already?
No.
Was it good for you or bad for you in that moment?
Well, when you start off, I mean, being 13th man is a nightmare. Traveling, you're traveling everywhere, doing it and not playing. Carrying the case, carrying the bags in, carrying the kit in, tidying the dressing room up. And then you go back Saturday night, you got to be in Sunday with the reserves.
Oh.
I mean, so yeah, more subs back then would have been, it would have given more opportunities. But at the same time, you're losing. You know, we talk about how do you manage a game.
Right.
Well, you had to manage games because you only had A, one sub, and B, a smaller squad. And so...
Did you manage it or did it just go? You didn't have a choice because you couldn't do anything about it.
Players knew they were in for the 90. They knew they couldn't look to the bench and get a break. So they probably at minute 10 are thinking that, right?
If you know you're playing on the Tuesday, then you're not trying to win 6-7 and 8-0.
Right,
you're using your head, you're smart, you've got Ronnie Moran at the side going, right, hey, kill it.
Yeah.
Save your legs, pass the ball around, give it to the goalie.
Because there's no rotation for you.
I mean, I almost said the away goals rule. And the only reason that it came to my mind was because I just get a feeling that every single thing that changes in the game now, it kills defending a little bit more.
Why does the away goal rule kill defending?
Because you should be able to find a way to...
Well, because
a game out.
So if Real Madrid makes a mistake against
Team X, doesn't matter.
Whoever, right? It doesn't really matter anymore.
Because they can always get it back on the away goal.
If Real Madrid end up drawing 1-1 or 2-2 at home for some reason, which sometimes would happen, it changes the whole complexion of the game. Now it's just all about, forget defending, everybody, let's score as many as we can, and it doesn't matter if we let a couple in.
Right. The City of Real Madrid is a different outcome, right?
Yeah.
If we still have it.
I mean, listen, there were great games to watch, but as I said, every little rule that's changed, just I get the feeling they're chipping away at defending all the time. Just it means less and less and less.
Spoken like a true defender. Go ahead, Jan.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, but yeah, it's fair that Steve is saying that because I don't think a lot of people come into the stadium to see defenders. But so having said
spoken
that...
Spoken like a true forward.
No, I will say that I was talking to my friend yesterday and I said we're going to do... The Premier League team of the players who will never come up to the Premier League team of the season. And I will say the centre halves at Everton Football Club, I love watching defenders like them are doing. But I just want to say praise the guy who discovered the back pass rule, that took away the back pass rule.
Yes.
And I go, that is the best rule change we've had in 200 years of football.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna bring up. Was
you would not go back to that?
I mean, of all the things that FIFA has tried to do to improve the game over the last 30, 40 years, the only one that has really, truly made a big difference is the back pass rule. And what you know when you watch a tape.
Oh my gosh!
Watch
the 1990 World Cup
and watch him pass the ball back.
The 92 Euros with Denmark.
And look,
I mean, they just passed it back and forth the defenders and Schmeichel.
My first season as a pro was the last season of the back pass.
I'm too young for it.
And it revolutionized the game. Absolutely, huge difference.
The reason I'm laughing.
Yeah.
is because people say that, right? But there's a way to stop it. I mean, we used to, when I was talking earlier about seeing the game out, we would pass it back to the goalkeeper for fun. And the opposition would have thick as mince. Because all you got to do is stick somebody forward, yeah, and then we can't pass it back. But yet nobody would do it. It was ridiculous. We'd be coming off at the end of the game laughing at them. Because they'd all be complaining.
Yeah, just stand there on the top of the 18 and you can't pass
all
it back.
All these fans and all these opposition, yeah, I can't believe you keep passing back the goalie. We'll do something about it then. Rushing the leash. Teams would never pass it back to the goalie because they wouldn't land them.
Right.
To be fair, when we played Liverpool back in the 90s, we never touched the ball anyways. It didn't matter what kind of rule we had.
All right, boys, good stuff here on Extra Time. That's it for this edition. Got some good questions. We will be back tomorrow covering all things European football. A very busy weekend coming up here from the ESPN FC studios. We'll see you on Saturday.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.